The Battle of Trafalgar, a stunning British naval victory, took place on October 21, 1805, off the southwestern coast of Spain. However, it is about to be reenacted moments from now off the southern coast of England. Here it is, June 28th, to tell us about more and of this return of the tall ships is Jonathan Brown. He's a reporter for The Independent, a national daily newspaper in Britain. Joins us from the docks in Portsmouth, England, where he's been watching the festivities in process. Thanks for joining us, Jonathan.
It's a pleasure.
What do you see out there?
Well, if I look out here on the Solent, I can see hundreds of ships and vessels, warships, aircraft carriers, small boats, tall ships, you name it, ferries. There's people going out in rowing boats. Basically, they're all heading out into the towards the channel there where they are going to watch this reenactment, the greatest sea battle in British naval history, and one that has really, you know, galvanised opinion and the attention of the British people and beyond into Europe, France, Spain, etc.
Now, I understand that the French and the Spanish won't be involved in this one.
Well, they're here. The French have got five ships, including the biggest ship in the fleet, the Charles de Gaulle, the aircraft carriers, the French flagship, that's here. The Spanish, they've got three ships, they're watching, and they're here as part of the International Fleet Review, which is what's been going on today. As far as the battle goes tonight, we're told it is a battle, not the battle. The actors and the ships involved are on the blue team or the red team, not the French team or the English team. That's to preserve intercontinental embarrassment from happening.
Once was enough, I guess.
Yeah. Well...
why? Now, this is a very important battle for Britain. Tell us about it.
It was during the sort of the period when Napoleon was consolidating his grip on Europe. Britain was under threat. Nelson went down there to the south of Spain. He engaged the French and the Spanish fleet. Of course, our allies then, and he basically destroyed them. He killed 6,500 French and Spanish soldiers. The British lost 650. He captured the entire fleet. From that point on, Britain enjoyed total superiority on the oceans and the seas. It took another 10 years, mind, before Napoleon was finally vanquished. This time on land by the Duke of Wellington in Belgium at Waterloo. The only the bicentennial of that, which will occur in 2015.
You know, for a successful emperor, this guy Napoleon is known more for his big defeats than he is for his victories, I guess.
Well, you could say that. I mean, Napoleon invented a sort of a code of living, a way of stratifying society. And if it wasn't really for the last, you know, the crazy years at the end. He would be regarded as a sort of, you know, the ultimate Enlightenment man, really. Now we think of him as a dictator.
Tell us this
hero.
Yeah, and the battle itself was fought against the better judgment of his commanders at the time. He was about the only guy who thought he was going to win, right?
Well, I think that's how, a bit like Hitler in his bunker, he was ordering his generals to push on, even when they're in decline. But, you know, he did still hold massive superiority on land. And, you know, Britain was the primary sea power at that point and remained so for another 100 years after that. So, basically, he was playing away from home and he lost.
Tell us about Admiral Horatio Nelson, the hero of this battle.
Well, it depends who you speak to. Nowadays, people are starting to talk about Nelson as some kind of liberal. Before, he's always been considered a very harsh and effective commander, a man who was ruthless in battle, but also with another side to him. He was a great lover. He had this passionate love affair with Lady Hamilton, a woman who wasn't his wife. He ditched his wife. He got together with her. She was basically a prostitute, high-class prostitute. You know, they lived together, scandalized society. He's quite an interesting bloke. He died at this battle in Trafalgar, and maybe that's what cemented his place in the pantheon of, you know, at the very summit of the pantheon of British imperial heroes.
Well, I also understand that he came up with a unique strategy, one that was a surprise for the French and the Spanish in this battle in terms of naval warfare.
Well, he turned around and he basically dummied them and then he blasted them full side. But I think there is also a dimension to this, that the Spanish were pretty bedraggled, and the French, they'd lost faith in what they were doing. The British were the top of their game. They'd been engaged in this epic sea chase across the Atlantic prior to this. And, you know, it was an amazing victory. But I think it's more, the naval colleges still teach the way it was done, but it's more the ramifications. You know, as I say, Britain achieved total superiority on the seas after Nelson's victory here.
I understand there was some grumbling about the festivities, this reenactment from Admiral Nelson's great-great-great-granddaughter, is that right?
Well, she has complained that it's politically correct, and she thinks that we should be blasting holes in the side of the French and the Spanish.
She doesn't like all this red navy, blue navy stuff. Huh?
She doesn't. But, you know, the French and the Spanish are here, and they've been very, very, they've really got behind this. And I can see their point of view, to be honest. You know, why should they come? They lost. They know they lost. But, you know, we've moved on. We're arguing with them over different things now.
Jonathan, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Jonathan Brown is a reporter for The Independent, a national daily newspaper in Britain. He joins us 200 feet in the air atop a Spinnaker Tower in Portsmouth, England. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stachow.